It's time for ESPN Las Vegas legal insider Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock hour. You heard it. Battleborn Broadcast Center. We're on in Reno. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. Dial 775 in the north. Office in Reno and Vegas and downtown Las Vegas and in Henderson. Justin Watkins is in. I reached out to you earlier today. We have an hour on the way. I think we're going to refrain, unless we have a little bit of time at the end of the hour, from something Caitlin Clark related. Our Vast Digital crew posted a nice video of you and Adam going at it next week. So we already have enough to aggressively discuss. Adam, let's come out of the gates with Stanley Cup playoffs. Check that, the finals here. It's 3-1. Oilers scrap back into it. Are we going to have a story with the MVP? Set this up.
So it came out of after the game when, you know, obviously they finally started scoring goals. Edmonton did, and they put up 8 the other day. I would imagine Bobrovsky was probably the favorite to a lot of people's minds because there hasn't really been a standout player necessarily for Florida. Greg Wyshynski obviously covered hockey for a long time, put out a tweet that says kind of based on a straw poll that he did, if Edmonton were to win game 5 and force a game 6, that the leading contender right now among the national media to win MVP would be Connor McDavid. Woo. And the Florida people freaked out. People in Florida are freaking out about this. Obviously, it's not really a story until something happens. But when somebody that reputable puts something like that out, it becomes a discussion point, and people in Florida are just not happy with this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy with it either. I mean, he shows up for one game. I mean, I get it. It's a big game, 8-1. And now, you know, if you were to look at goal differential, they're actually ahead, I think, by goal or two. But the reality is that over the course of this final, McDavid has had almost no impact. Draisaitl has had almost no impact. And so for one game, for them to have a barrage of goals, in which case, you know what, like it's a little bit like the Golden Knights last year, weren't unhappy to come back home up 3-1. Yeah. You know, I'm sure they flushed this. It was no big deal. Glad to go home to Florida. Cup's going to be in the building. And if game 5
goes like games 1-3 went, then I definitely don't think they can give it to them. But
yeah, this was based on if they go win game 5 and come back to Edmonton.
Depends on what happens, right? Now, the big point is McDavid broke a long-standing playoff point record of Gretzky. So they're saying that the performance is unprecedented. But the way that Edmonton plays and wins games, the numbers of those points that were truly impactful and game-deciding, I don't think justifies it. I don't think that alone justifies it. Now, if something special happens in 5 for McDavid, that
if he
wins
does it
the
again.
Game. Yeah, well, yeah, right.
The same thing.
Well, if it goes 8-1 again and then Florida wins game 6 and they're sort of dominant again in those close games with the physicality, I don't know. I mean, there are Florida players who have some points. There are some Florida players who have had some impact in the final. You know, that I'm completely biased against the national NHL media and their.
You've been a longstanding Connor McDavid hater.
No, not McDavid. The media's sure. love for McDavid and how, you know, this is going to. Unlike any other player in the league, you got to win a cup to mean anything. And he means everything no matter what. He hasn't won a cup and they don't care. They're like, oh, well, we'll just give him the Conn Smythe. Because he clearly is the best, and he has not clearly been the best.
He's the Caitlin Clark of the NHL.
Maybe so. Yeah. Except, I mean,
he actually is the best player.
Maybe.
He is.
I don't know. I think there's a conversation to be had about players that can actually play two ways, lead their team defensively, play a 200-foot game, and not you know, do the, play the power play, play the penalty kill, play a 200-foot game, shut down the best player on the other team's best offensive player on the other team. Those are the ones who win the cup. The Sidney Crosbys, you know, I put McKinnon more in the McDavid category, although I think he is better defensively, but he doesn't play penalty kill. You know, for me, I mean, I think the best player on the ice in this series is Tkachuk. He has the most well-rounded game of anybody. He can score at any time. He plays, you know, plays on the ice at all different times. And all McDavid does is play the most minutes, getting set up in the most offensive situations to succeed. He doesn't have to play defense. He's not out there on the penalty kill. And I mean, their penalty kill actually hasn't been bad this series. Yeah. So I can't even critique that. But I just don't think he is completely well-rounded in that way. And I think there is a conversation to be had that there's, I don't know, 4 or 5 players that could be part of that conversation. Who's the best?
I mean, it was Bobrovsky until the last game. I mean, it still might be.
I think it still should be. I mean, if they win Game 5. Now, if he gives up, you know, a ton of goals again.
6-1.
Yeah, in Game 5. And then they pull it out in Game 6. He's probably lost it.
Yeah.
And to your point, then who do you look to on Florida's team to say, you know, this is the guy? I mean, you know, maybe I'll even take that back. Maybe the best player on the ice is Barkov. He might be the best player on the ice. That guy is unreal.
I think this is why the case was made of maybe it ends up being Connor McDavid.
Right. But I also think that if it was anybody other than Connor McDavid, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Yeah.
Sure. If it was Colorado losing 3-1 in the Stanley Cup final and Nate McKinnon had broke a point record, that we would not be having this conversation. This is a Canadian centric conversation. They got that, you know, if they don't win the cup, they're going to give it to their guy.
Adam Hill across the way, Justin Watkins, Battleborn Broadcast Center here on a Monday, Cofield and Company. All right. I'm looking at a headline that you sent over. Nevada among states with most road rage. Study shows. Come on. What study?
Well, I thought it was important that you get to hear this.
I've had a couple of good weeks.
Yeah? You calmed it down?
They're pretty good. Yeah, maybe like 14 honks a week.
Well, I will say
mostly
that.
Mostly on behalf of others.
I like that. You're the white knight. You're the Robin Hood of the traffic.
That's not good.
But I will say this. I mean, number one, that was a headline in the local paper. And it got me to click. I was like, wait a minute, really? Are we like number one? No, according to theirs, we're not even, you know, we're number 13, which is actually surprising to me because we have such a melting pot of different communities from the United States that drive in all different ways. So I really think we're susceptible to being some of the most dangerous roadways. Plus, obviously, we have a lot of alcohol and other legal drugs to take here that can impair driving. And I was surprised at how good our statistics were. We were near the bottom in gun violence on roadways, which is great. You know, we're an open carry state. It is very possible we're not that way.
I love the glass overflowing.
What a low bar. We're among the lowest in gun violence on the roadways.
Well, shouldn't we applaud that?
I agree.
We should applaud that.
No, I agree. But and it's such a crazy thing.
We're among the lowest in road rage incidents of like assault and physical violence. Where we lost out on and why our score put us in the top 13 is what they put accidents or fatalities attributed to careless or irresponsible driving. And I would take the position that a single accident does not happen outside of malfunctioning traffic lights. Outside of that, every accident is due to carelessness. Yeah. So where do you pick that up? And how does that score equal the same as the other categories where we're talking about people shooting people as a result of an accident? So I actually think that the study is flawed. That's why I really want to talk about it. I think based on those numbers, I think we're one of the best. I think we have a pretty low incident rate of actual road rage. Yes, we have a high incident rate of accidents, We do. We're going to. We have a ton of construction on the roadways. We have a ton of drivers from a bunch of different places that all drive to their local standards, but do it here. And with the way that our roadways are built, if we're going to have inclement weather, if we're going to have rain, yes, if we're going to have a ton of well, and I have a point on this too. You know, everybody says, oh, because people don't know how to drive in the rain. It's not the same. I lived in Oregon and I lived here. It rains every day in Oregon. The roadway composition, what makes up the asphalt in Oregon, is a different mixture that allows it to drain. Here, because we have such high temperatures and we have such low temperatures, they have to put a ton of tar and oil into our asphalt mix. So when it rains, it comes to the top.
Yep.
It's like more dangerous.
Road breakdown. Yep. Yeah. Slick roads.
Well, that's back from the civil engineering days.
But how can we measure just sitting in the car and like,
exactly.
That part of road. I feel like that's high here because of the ridiculous construction.
I feel like it's high for you.
Yeah, because the construction patterns are so ridiculous.
You go off the deep end and everything seems to be worked on all the time.
I will say this.
But why are they always constructing the alternate routes on the major construction projects? It's completely ridiculous.
Oh, I'm with you. And this is a so high problem.
No commercial break. Here we go.
There is no way to get out of Southern Highlands without going through major construction. You cannot do it. You can't take Decatur. You can't take Rainbow. You can't take Buffalo. You can't take literally 15 North to 215 to get up to Summerlin. It's crazy. Every alternate route is taken. But I will say this. I also lived in California, in San Diego, when I went to law school down there. And I do think that when people are stuck in traffic there, they're like, whatever. It's just part of it.
I'm fine with traffic. It's the ridiculous construction pattern. That's what gets me. If there's traffic, there's traffic. Fine. Whatever. It's, oh, so this construction project is going on. Okay, cool. I'll take this road. Why is that road under construction at the same time? Wait for this one to be done.
I do have to jump in here, though, with Adam. Because I've gotten to the point now, when I get in the car, no matter what drive I take regularly, I map it.
Yep.
I
map it too.
I map it every time. I don't think you map rides. If you map it, at least you can see. You don't think it's updated enough?
No. I don't think you can map it out of Sohi. There is no.
Well, you might have to go seven streets to the west, to the east, and come
you
over.
Have to. You have
no,
to
you can't. They're all every single one.
Every single one. It's true. Yeah. Like the map will send you on Decatur.
Yeah.
To get here,
and there's no way I'm taking Decatur.
I take it because that's what the map says is the shortest, but it's down to one lane two different times. So this morning, this is so funny that this happened. So this morning, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take Rainbow, and then I'm going to bail off onto Buffalo because Buffalo is going to be great. Buffalo is 10 times worse.
Oh, I know. I was there yesterday.
Oh, that's.
I tried the same way yesterday, yeah, actually.
It's so terrible. It's so bad.
Can we just go to the bar after this and get right?
Rainbow's down to one lane. Buffalo's down to one lane for such a long period of time.
It's all coming from the south.
Yes, yeah. Coming from the south. Yeah. That towards light cycles go through, and one or two cars only make it.
Of course.
That is bad. I will. We are in the. Man. I don't know. I don't drive enough out the north.
And you're moving, jerk.
Not a year and a half from now. I still got some time.
We got like 30 seconds left. I sent you a video of a guy getting in a road rage, and he starts ramming into the back of a gas tanker. If you presented that in court, isn't that like elevated charges to like attempted murder for everyone in the area?
I don't think
15 seconds.
I don't think so in this case. I actually think that the accident had already occurred because his airbags have been deployed, and I bet you his accelerator was stuck.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
He couldn't see it because it was this car just slamming into the back of a tanker. I'm like, this guy's a lunatic.
One, two, get down.
Now back to Justin Watkins with Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Hi, Justin is here. Battleborn Broadcast Center. Adam Hill, Cofield, as we do every Monday. Discuss legal stuff and other interesting topics, sports, maybe some fantasy football coming up in terms of finally coming up with a penalty for finishing in last like so many leagues do. And Adam has a big debate on tap. But I'm wondering what's going on right now because I keep seeing it teased over the last 10 days or so. Court case. Was Goodell in court today about something in the past with DirecTV and how they were charging certain rates? And I think a local bar brought this up about how unfair it is, how much they charge local bars, how much they had charged in the past.
So what do we got here?
Yeah, I mean, it's an antitrust challenge, which is to say that the league's contract with DirecTV and Sunday Ticket, the argument is that it creates anti-competition, it's anti-competitive behavior, there is a monopoly, and that it is such a strong monopoly and such anti-competition that the government should step in and, well, now at this point, it is about going back to provide some sort of financial recompense for all the people who paid into Sunday Ticket because clearly it was anti-competition. That's not a debate, right? They sold it to a single company, a single distributor, and you had to go with that. You didn't really have a choice on the price. The price was what the price was. But the question becomes, you know, obviously the NFL has its TV rights. It's allowed to do with those rights what it wants in theory. But is the NFL a monopoly? Did they conspire with DirecTV to provide a monopoly for the distribution of all out-of-market games? That's the key, right? It's all out-of-market games. And did they do it in a way that allowed them to price gouge the public? Those are kind of the three hurdles that they have to get over. And so in order to get there, Goodell's in there. Jerry Jones is on his way in there to testify about, you know, how did this deal come about? How did you get there? And, you know, I mean, a big question would be, how did you determine price? You know, where did that come from? And I didn't do Sunday Ticket for the last, I'll say, half of the DirecTV's time with it. I did it for the first half, you know, and it wasn't cheap. It went up over time. And I'm sure when the testimony comes out as to the profit margins on those numbers, it's not going to be helpful to the defense argument that this wasn't sort of price gouging. But maybe I'm wrong.
Who picks who has to testify? Because I would not want Jerry Jones repping me.
Right?
Well, at this age, he's loose. Like, he just likes to talk.
Well, anybody can. The plaintiffs or defense can ask any witness with relevant information to testify. So now I'm sure Jerry Jones's name popped up. He was probably on the executive committee or the TV distribution, some sort of committee that made the decision about who to choose and where and some reporting along that way. You can't just be like, and you know what? I want to talk to Mark Davis. You know, if he had nothing to do with any of those decisions, it's not going to come up. But Jerry Jones will be there. So I'm assuming, number one, he was disclosed as a witness with relevant information. And then either side can choose to subpoena him for trial.
I think you even identified the wrong owner. I mean, Jerry Jones for sure, but it sounds like Bob Kraft made the most damning statement to the NFL so far, right, during the trial, when he was like, "Yeah, we wanted to keep it high because we didn't want people watching it. We wanted to watch the network stuff."
Right.
Like, that's not good for their case. It's exactly what the claim was, and Robert Kraft said it.
Yeah, it leads to that sort of conspiracy. Now, it's okay for everybody to agree on something. But when the agreement is a price gouging result, well, that's when it turns into, you know, an antitrust. That's when it turns into anti-competitive behavior that harms the consumer. And we have antitrust laws here in the United States to encourage competition to prevent these kinds of things.
So we're talking about the NFL and DirecTV and now a case going through the courts about, you know, as you said, anti-competition, monopoly. There could be restitution for people who had Sunday Ticket on DirecTV in the past. Could this mean, could a victory mean for the plaintiffs that we get a lower price moving forward?
Oh, definitely can mean that. Okay. Because if the court comes down and says this does violate antitrust laws and is very detailed about why and what structure would have been okay and what wasn't, then it might turn, you know, based on that analysis, that the current structure is not okay. And if the current structure is not okay, then they got to revise it and fix it.
To make it, I guess, to tell people like more exact details of at least part of the case, ESPN wanted the Sunday Ticket.
Yeah.
They said, we'll pay you for the Sunday Ticket. We're going to provide it to customers at $70 a year.
Yep.
And the NFL was like, no, can't do that. And their reason was, if you do that, nobody's watching the national games. Right. Everybody's going to buy this. Everybody's going to be buying the other. You know, they're going to be watching those games instead of watching the national games. And then that hurts our TV deals going forward. Could the NFL's claim, and is it a valid claim, be like, hey, we're looking out for us in that we want to make more money off the network deals. That really impacts our business if we do allow ESPN to sell it at $70.
Well, there's no doubt they're looking out for them. That's always assumed in the antitrust, is that you're right. The business is always looking out for
them. Don't they have a responsibility to try to make the most money that they can?
Yes, but, well.
I'm not trying to defend the NFL. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out the claim.
Yeah, but you can't do that in what are termed to be anti-competitive ways, right? You can't create a monopoly and price gouge, even if you have financial reasons for doing so on your side. The question isn't what's best for the NFL. The question is, did the structure, was it a conspiracy or an agreement to block people out of a service by price gouging, by making prices so high that they could direct behavior of the consumer rather than the consumer having the choice through valid competition? Now, you could say if ESPN was willing to pay the same as DirecTV and distribute, and they could do it for $70, and NBC NBC, CBS, and Fox paid their deals, and they're like, wait a minute, that will screw us out of our money. That's good competition, right? Then all those contracts should be negotiated in other ways. Then ask ESPN for more money, right? Make them pay more money. You know, like then that product is worth more than what you've agreed to sell it for. So the bottom line is in antitrust litigation, it is about the consumer. Does the consumer have a valid choice here, or are they stuck with what they're stuck with? And you know, the easiest example is, you know, way back when in the early 1900s, there was one telephone company, Bell. And then, you know, when we were young, there was like 17 different Bells. Right. There was like Pac Bell. Yeah. There was all, you know, Midwest Bell. There's all these different Bell companies because the United States stepped in and said, you have to break this up. You have to create regional telephone companies because the consumer has no choice. They have to pay what you say to pay, and there's no alternative.
So, I mean, in that case, when Robert Kraft says, we wanted to maintain the premium price for Sunday Ticket because a low price would have hurt NFL TV partners CBS and Fox, isn't it over?
Well, he's just one person, right? I mean, he you know, I don't know what the structure is, the decision-making, you know, but again, there does have to be that sort of monopoly and anti-competition. The question is, for the court, is the NFL allowed to do that? Are they not really a monopoly? People don't have to watch NFL games. People at some point had to use the telephone,
sure,
right? So there is a more detailed analysis that the court has to do there before they just say, yes, they were price gouging. You have to clear some hurdles.
Justin Watkins, legal insider, former public servant on a Monday. Last one for me on this. I'm not much of a critical thinker at times. So something hit me this morning. Mike Florio was on with Pat McAfee. And, you know, Florio pointed something out that I hadn't really thought about. How many of the most popular teams are on, you know, Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football? They're on these premium games. And then you start doing the numbers. You're like, wait, is it even worth buying Sunday Ticket? Like, the Jets are on primetime 6 times this year. I was thinking about not getting it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I've said this on the air many times. We go out, right? The SO and I, like, we go out, right? So it might cost me $150 to watch Sunday football all day long with the ticket package at a particular bar or restaurant. So I could be looking at spending like $1,500 to $2,000 and going, I'm not going to pay $250 or $300. And I actually don't have that big a problem with that.
No,
I would rather give the money to local businesses,
yep,
than feel a little bit ripped off with the Sunday ticket and the way they're doing it. Yeah, that sounds absurd. I'm going to pay 10 times more.
No, it doesn't.
8 times more.
I mean, there's also, you got atmosphere and you got food and you don't have to prepare it and you get to, you know, you get to be around some, I'm sure there's a number of people that you see regularly that are doing the same thing.
Misery loves company.
You know, there's a
all of us sad NFL fans on the wrong side of that Sunday morning game or Sunday afternoon game.
You got a community there. I stopped the Sunday ticket pre-pandemic, and you know what? I haven't really missed it.
Adam, I think YouTube TV might go bye-bye too. Because I got looped in on that because you had to have to get the discount. Might go bye-bye. You highly recommended it.
I love YouTube TV. It's great.
Now I feel like, you know, if we're out, we come out on the wrong side here, they can continue to, you know, charge whatever they want. I don't know if I want to do business with them.
The functionality is so good.
I actually don't love the functionality. I like the library feature. I like their whatever it is.
Yeah, but the ability, like on the road, I just go into wherever I am and cast my phone through YouTube TV to the TV wherever I am at Airbnb or a hotel.
We'll see.
Great. This is an advertisement.
Oh, for, that's everybody's got that. Fubo's got that. Everybody's got that.
Oh, so good, though. We might have to go to a Fubo story. We do have that fantasy football story coming up as well. Rules and analysis of penalty for a last place finish. We don't have that in our league, but we probably need it.
You're listening to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
We're just talking about TV and football and constant topic on Cofield and Company and all these apps. And boy, oh boy, cut the cord. It's going to be great. Now it's breaking me financially. Adam was just pitching YouTube TV again. I had to get it because of my desire to get Sunday Ticket. You fired back with Fubo, but then Adam has a story to come over the top that Fubo effed up some soccer this weekend.
Yeah. Well, first of all, people are just mad in general. Like, Euro is a massive tournament. People are very interested. People that saw Mbappe today. Oh,
who's the main carrier?
Fox.
Okay.
So most of the games are Fox, FS1. You know, you flip around, you find, you know, wherever the game. Like, it sucks that the doubleheaders are like FS1, then Fox. So you got to. You know, you got to switch it, but, you know, that's fine. But 5 games throughout the tournament are Fubo exclusive that Fox bought, which they're just trying to, I guess, drive traffic. I didn't know Fox and Fubo were even connected, but I guess they're trying to drive traffic over to Fubo. And people were already mad about it that it was on Fubo. And then you turn on the first game, I think it was Saturday, and there's no score bug at all anywhere to be found. It's just the game. And people were like, wait, how much time's left? What's the score? I have no idea. It sounds like they fixed it for the second game. In fact, you know, the parts that I turned on had one for the second game. But the first one, a bit of a disaster in terms of the actual production, which I don't know why they wouldn't just use the same production. Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, at the same time, the game was on. You got to see it. And there's, especially if you like soccer, I mean, there's no more platform that has availability for soccer than Fubo.
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I mean, I venture to guess Paramount Plus does not have more than Fubo, but it might be up there at the same as Fubo. I mean, Fubo's got all the leagues, dude. Yeah. I mean, all the leagues, all the way down, La Liga. I mean, it's got everything. Liga. There is soccer on Fubo almost any time of day. From Premier League to La Liga to all kinds of stuff.
I guess I have to look more into that because I don't know how they do it. Because I do watch some games on there. But I feel like Premier League is Peacock exclusive for their package. And then Champions League is Paramount Plus exclusive. So, but I guess maybe they're
available on Fubo. Not every game, though.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think it's every game of each of those leagues. But for sure, every like Saturday morning at like 7 a.m. or 6 a.m., there's like a Tottenham game on or something. You know?
Can I jump in for a second here? We've got all these Hard Knocks coming.
Who do?
They're not. This is not going to get complicated, right? Where I can find it,
Max.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Max.
I just want to make sure. I don't know if there's
Max.
Gonna be,
I love Max. Great.
You know, we're doing free pops here because they finally came through with. They're going to have the Bears preseason. We got Giants. What off season coming up? That's going to start rolling out,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
we got receiver coming up on Netflix.
We have receiver coming up on Netflix, and we were talking about 2 weeks ago about what we're most excited about. Well, they're instead of doing an in-season team, they're going to do an in-season division. We were trying to guess which one, and I think we nailed it.
Yeah,
saying it AFC North, which you don't look that impressed.
No, I think it's good. It's a good choice. Right? I mean, it's super hyper competitive division. You know, passionate bases for all those teams. Yeah, bunch of quarterback stories.
Good stories there. With the Steelers. We're going to get to see Russell Wilson, good and bad.
Well, all the quarterbacks in the division. I mean, you go Lamar, Burrow, Deshaun, and Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, which is great. It's awesome.
I you know, it's funny. I almost forget about Deshaun because, again, like reading rankings.
I don't know. I'm in a bidding war for him right now in a freaking dynasty. It's ridiculous.
I think Chris
Sims. Give up.
I think Chris Sims had him like 25th quarterback in the NFL. Deshaun Watson for all this money they're paying, 260 guaranteed.
Yeah, I you know, reports are he actually finally looks healthy, so we'll see how that changes things. But he has not been healthy since he's been there, so who knows? Does that mean he's going to continue to be hurt? I feel like if he does get healthy, he's still going to be very good, but he's got a team around him, and I think the organization's smart.
And so it begins, Justin. We get the fantasy football snitches from one Adam Hill. He gives it up. And then we go into
our league. It's a dynasty league where every player is already taken. There's one quarterback available in the entire league.
You'll be a little more aggressive on your guy, Deshaun, than maybe people will expect.
Got Tyrod for a dollar.
There may be
going to be the starter for the Jets.
There may be some bidding up.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
And you arrive at the arena and they have all these t-shirt stands outside. And they had t-shirts out there every day of the year. Even if you're going to a hockey game and you're going to a concert. F LeBron and F Kobe. When I take pictures of people in Boston, they're very nice. They ask for a photo. I got to pay attention to what shirt they're wearing. Because I have no idea what shirt. I don't want to be all of a sudden in a photo where I'm standing with somebody. You know, this is the way in Boston. They play on a different level.
There he is. He's had a good week, man. Really good week. Rough takes, getting on people, and then describing what Boston fans are like. They're vicious, man. They're vicious. We're going to get to the Boston fans and their intensity. And Kyrie spoke to that fact that he didn't know. He didn't understand at the time how serious it is. So Justin Watkins is here. We just started some chatter over fantasy football. We all play. We are in a league together. Adam's in like 25 leagues. He's crazy.
81 last year.
81 leagues. Okay.
61 are best ball, though, so it doesn't really count.
Adam found a fantasy football league last place penalty. I saw one of our P1s, Brady, was very much into this and debating. What does a last place finisher have to do?
So 24 hours in a fast food restaurant. Was a specific one. And then you have to sit there for 24 hours at a table, but every menu item has a time attached to it. And if you eat that menu item completely, then you get that much time off of your stint at the fast food restaurant.
The one that hit big last year was sit at a Waffle House for 24 hours. You got to eat waffles. The more waffles you eat, the less time you got to stay.
Yeah, I think it was pancakes, but it was like giant pancakes. I think if it was the plate of two giant pancakes was an hour. So for every plate of two pancakes you ate, 1 hour off your time. So if you ate 24 plates, then you're out.
You had to do 48 pancakes
to get out.
Get out completely.
Or,
but like, you know, in minutes, there's.
Yeah, or do like 12 pancakes and then you get 6 hours off. So you have 12 pancakes and,
wow,
you know, 18 hours.
Okay.
So yeah.
Right, so this one's kind of fun because there's certain time designated to each item and obviously you get variety too.
Well, yeah, you get to pick out your strategy. I mean, I love that they posted. They gave us the key, you know, to the menu, and I'm already like, okay, you know, where could I go? What could I get in
this
me?
This was at McDonald's.
Yep.
Keep going.
It's at McDonald's. So, you know, the guy got out in 8 hours, and what he had to do to do that was two big breakfasts with hotcakes, 17 hash
Those
browns.
Those were worth 2 hours each.
Yes.
Yeah.
17 hash browns, which are 25 minutes a piece. 23 apple slices. Those are worth 5 minutes a piece. And four McChickens, which are worth 45 minutes a piece.
Yeah.
And he got out in 8 hours.
My question on the apple slices was, is it the per bag or per slice?
It's got to be the bag. It's got to be the bag. But the bag.
Like, you would just crush apple slices all day and just get out.
It's a lot of apples.
It is, but it really doesn't. I feel like.
See, everybody's lauding him for tackling the big breakfast and getting two of those down. I'm not sure that would have been my strategy because you got the muffins, the biscuits, in the with the eggs and the sausage, and now you got to add in pancakes on top of that to get the full 2 hour per. I think I found my wheelhouse. I mean, I could put down some McDonald's. So I found my wheelhouse. You do the sausage burrito.
Those are very small.
Very small in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
Pair it with the hash brown and the apple slices. I just got an hour.
You do, yeah, you do 24 of those.
Right, exactly.
I know both of you guys literally sat there this weekend for a while, like looking at this.
At least an hour. Yeah. Insane. At least an hour I spent on this.
Well, that's how I came up with that. Those sausage burritos, number one, are good. Number two, they're tiny.
They're tiny.
And you can, and when you pair that up with the hash brown and the apple slice, boom, 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 boom. For sure, I could do that a minimum of 12 times. For sure.
I think more.
Yeah, I think so, I think too.
You can do 22 of those in 2 hours. And then
you're limited at 17 because the hash browns had a limit.
Oh, that's right.
17.
Because the hash browns, that was the thing a lot of people pointed out, because when people put this out, people were like, just crush hash browns the entire day and you're out in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, there's a limit of 17. So yeah, we got to get out of those.
So, yeah, I would do that when I run out of my 17 hours. Now I've killed 17 hours. So I got 7 left. To me, you do that double cheeseburger. Very simple. It's not that big. I could crush those at 45 minutes apiece for sure.
So those are 45.
45 yeah, minutes. Okay.
That's good. I mean, it's a good strategy. And that is what people came up, because right when I looked at it, I was like, hash browns and apples. I'm just crushing hash browns and apples all day. And then they said, okay, you got a limit on the hash, which I don't know how they came up with 17. That's a weird.
It is weird.
It's a weird number to come up with, the 17 limit.
Yeah, it must. What is it? 25 times 17 must come out to a decent round
number. So I feel like 17 hash browns is a must.
Yes.
Like, you absolutely have to do that. And then listen, I think, to
what
apples,
you're saying.
Yeah. See, that's easy.
You've got to eat 17 hash browns.
That's easy.
Yeah. Okay. That's a little disc. Yeah. Yeah, you got that.
A lot of oil.
It is.
Yeah, nobody's claiming any of this is going to be healthy. But also, I thought the apple slices were absolutely, but they're only 5 minutes, I think.
They're only five minutes.
They're only 5 minutes.
So, I mean, it's going to take a lot. That's why I was like, if it's one apple slice, okay, then you're like, I think there's like four.
I thought there was three in there.
Three, yeah. Okay. So, like, if it's per slice, it's 15 minutes for a bag. Like, just knock those out all day.
Yeah.
But if it's per bag, it's a little bit different.
I think it's important to work in the apple slices in each of your meals to sort of cleanse the palate a little bit.
And you get 5 minutes.
Yeah. So that's nice. Yeah. If all you're having is the greasy meats in the bread, you're going to be in trouble. I feel like the apple slices clear things up a little bit.
But of course, in addition to obviously the math, my thought was, am I going to be in a spot that has like Wi-Fi and an outlet? Like, I'll just work there. Like, I don't even care if I'm there for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
Yeah. But I don't know. I agree. I could sit there for 10 hours or whatever, but I would be like, there's a certain challenge to it. You know,
yeah,
like, how quick can I get out of here?
Yeah.
There was also 5 minutes for quote unquote ball pit. I don't know what that meant.
No, if you jump in the ball pit and play, then you get 5 minutes off.
How long
do you
have
to play? You can only do it once per hour. You just jump in, that's 5 minutes.
Okay.
But you can only do it once an hour. Okay, so that is nice. You get a little exercise.
This is the penalty for last place in a fantasy football league. Spend 24 hours with a whole chart of food and activities where you can knock minutes off so you don't have to stay there all 24. I already heard you guys off the air say, hey, we need to do something like this in the fantasy league we're in.
Yeah.
I challenge you to get this done from a rule standpoint.
Oh, I can't with you guys. With your guys who run that league.
It ain't me.
I know, but you guys brought me into it.
Him. And it's a Kansas City league. Soren Petro does radio in Kansas City on WHB. You two are insane when it comes to rules. I don't think you can get this done in 10 weeks. I don't think the negotiations will finish.
Well, I would think the best way to do it would just be to steal this.
Yeah,
we just steal it. It'll be easy. Like, hey, what are the parameters? These are the parameters.
I think you got to move hash browns down to 15 minutes, and then it'll probably sell.
Put a 10 limit. Limit of 10.
Okay.
See, this is right there.
Yeah. No, yeah, we just did it. We worked it out. We worked it out.
You didn't work it out with the commissioner of the league, who's actually not the commish, which is hilarious. This is really when you need a commissioner.
Yes.
To step in and be like, no, that's it.
Should I send the first salvo during the next break?
Yeah, you should.
We have a group text about traveling right now. Yes.
But I also think there are many much more punishing places than McDonald's that should be considered.
The only reason I would
like heavy food?
Yeah, hard on your system.
Hard on your system. Well, this will be a ringing endorsement.
Well, I'm not gonna say who.
You can, it's fine. Let's say once. I don't think we have to pound them.
No,
give me somewhere grueling that you thought of.
I mean, I think Denny's is tough. That'll send me over. I was thinking Arby's is tough.
It's not tough. It's great.
Well, it depends on what the value
fantastic.
Is. It depends on what the value is for each one.
Like a Market Fresh sandwich. That's a delicious sandwich. KFC would be tough.
Oh, yes.
I feel like that's the one.
What if you just got sent to Cane's? You only have
it's so I mean, delicious, though.
I know, but you, there's no options. There's no, there's no variety.
But that makes it less fun to try to figure out the strategy. I think KFC would be like crushing mashed potatoes. You just, you're never going to be able to move.
What do you earn more for, mashed potatoes or just a leg of chicken?
Oh, I think. Well,
potato. I think a side of mashed potatoes would be like 25 minutes. You knock that off.
It's tough. It's heavy.
Especially
it's
if
delicious, though.
The other problem is you have to have a place that's open 24 hours. That does throw a wrinkle into things.
Yeah. Well, and I think you can't alter. You got to take it the way it comes.
So, oh yeah.
And I don't like the gravy. What does that mean? Like I don't want the gravy on the mashed potatoes. I'd rather just have the mashed potatoes.
Come right in there.
You can it's in there.
It's like a pool of it.
Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah.
I got gravy at home. I made the other day. I'm waiting to put it on some rice. I love gravy. Now that said, this is absolutely incentive. I mean, the reason one, it's funny, but two, if you're in a league, go ahead and give up.
Yeah, you got to
go ahead and give up and don't set your lineups.
Yep.
And see what happens. You're going to be at a restaurant for 24 hours.
I feel like if Justin is struggling, he might try to lose. I think he wants to participate in this challenge and he wants a reason to do it.
Well, it's probably because I've been on a strict diet for like 8 weeks. All of this sounds delicious.
Destroy your system.
Yeah, exactly. Just a cheap meal for 12 hours in a fast food restaurant. But I think you nailed it. KFC might be the toughest.
What about Olive Garden? I mean, it's heavy.
There's so much stuff.
Two minutes of breadstick?
Like 2 minutes.
2 minutes? That's it.
It's got to be. It's got to be 10 at least for a breadstick.
No, they're too delicious.
Dude, you can't breadstick. Come on. I mean, my goal is to avoid all the breading. That's what I would try to do. That's why I went with the tactic I went. I got to avoid all the breading so that I can keep going.
There's so many possibilities.
I think you might have nailed it. KFC sounds great. Yeah, that'd be tough. That'd be really tough. I could do some Del Taco.
A bucket of chicken is an hour.
Del Taco's got a lot of variety there.
Oh, man.
The Double Del. Best burger in fast food.
How much time do you get for a double down? One of the sandwiches.
It's the same.
Or a chizza.
No gloves. And no gloves to deal with the freaking sizzling hot chicken. Yeah. Oh, boy. And you know what's funny? I just looked at the league last year. I was last.
Oh! Well, we should do a...
But not in points four! That's what should matter.
No.
We should do a retroactive...
I was terrible last year.
Retroactive punishment?
Yeah.
No.
Just to try it out.
Well, I mean...
That's how we'll get Soren to agree. Yeah. He'll agree if it punishes you.
Truth be told, in that league, I was trying to find any way I could to get out, just to be done with it, to quit the league. I'm terrible, and I don't care. But this will make me care.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff you're describing, I don't think... I can't do it.
You love the auction, though, too.
That's my problem, is I play so fast fun. And loose with the auction. I love it.
Yes.
But now I'm going to have to take it more seriously, because I can't just... You know, I basically just bid everyone up.
Yeah, you
just
try to punish everybody.
Get stuck with guys. I don't even want them. Yeah. And then I look at my team and I'm like, I'm not going to win. Why did I do that?
Every year.
Justin could have had his fifth receiver and Adam could have had whatever sleeper running back he wanted. But I screwed it up.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it this year. Like I said, my kids are getting a little older. I got a little bit more time to dedicate to something like Fantasy League. And especially if we can work out a punishment. I mean, I would love that.
Send out the text during a break.
I'm doing it.
All right.
First, I got to bid $50 on Christian Kirk.
Last, not even minute, 30 seconds. A lot of star athletes showed up at the Aces game on Saturday. Is that more proof that the LVCVA isn't, this is a good deal, giving them the money? They're drawing millionaires to the market to spend money. Proof right in front of you. I don't know what LeBron spent.
All you got to do is put the games on the same corner as a big fight and start it early so they can go to both.
Did LeBron go to the fight?
I believe he was there. Dame Lillard was definitely there. I think Bam was there, too. Yeah, I think they all went to both.
Without the ladies, they might not go to the fight.
Yeah, it sounds like they picked a great year to do it. You know, defending champions starting out of the gates 500.
I know. I thought of that, too. I was like, we got to blow this deal up. They're 6-6.
They're too comfortable.
That's what Adam believes. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. Comfort's not crying after the game, though, and I'm a mocking on her. I really appreciated Asia Wilson breaking down. I'm like, okay, because, listen, Becky Hammon's like, basically saying, I can't get them fired up. Like, they're not focused. Well, Asia Wilson seemed real focused. I don't know if they had a screaming match right after the game, but she is disappointed.